Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
First Samuel 14 and 6, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, which, by the way, the Philistines had come in and they had captured the land. And in a succession of moves, they eventually took all of the blacksmiths out of the land. So they left them their plows, they left them their farming implements, but there was nobody that could make a weapon or sharpen their plow. And so Jonathan and his father were the only ones that had armor or weapons, unless they were just homemade implements. So it's like a staggering thought. That would be like taking the Holy Ghost away from you, except for two of you. Think about that. It's like, wow, how am I going to fight this battle? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So one of the few people that has the ability to fight with the weapons of war that he is used to said to the man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by few or by many. And so I have a very emphatic title. Just maybe. That's confidence inspiring, isn't it? Just maybe. Just maybe. God bless you. You may be seated. The nation of Israel is once again under attack from the Philistine army. Not only had they taken all of their weapons from them, but now they were coming once again, and they had the high ground. They were up top, and the children of Israel were in the valley. Here's the other complication, is there's one other man that we know has weapons, so he has an armor bearer that bears his weapons, and his name is Saul, but he's not right with God. So you have two people that have weapons, but one of them, he's kind of disqualified because he's not living like God wants him to live. That would be a sad state for the church to find themselves in, to say, well, you know what? There's two people that have ever received the Holy Ghost, and one of them's half backslid. Right. And I don't know if you can be half backslid, but that's the way it was. And I believe this because Saul was already operating in fleshly wisdom. And Saul was on the road to rejection by God, not just rejecting God, but God rejecting him. And this would be revealed in the very next chapter. Saul has jumped the gun on offering sacrifice. He's living by his fleshly instincts. He's running ahead of God. And he calls a fast without seeking God because God's not talking to him. He's really not the spiritual leader. He is the physical leader, and Samuel is the spiritual leader. But because of the improper acts of King Saul, the army of Saul is vulnerable. Saul is vulnerable, and they are all out from underneath protection of God. Therefore, fear is ruling. And fear is faith in the enemy. If you have more faith in your enemy than you do in God, then you have fear. You're living in fear. And that is absolutely not the will of God. I can unequivocally say that is not the will of God for the born again believer. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Or one translation says clear thinking. So God is still present, and Jonathan's father has said, now we're having a fast, and they're walking through the woods, and there's honey dripping off the tree. And you know how it is when you're fasting. Everything smells good. Everything looks good. You get up, you can smell the neighbor's coffee brewing because you don't have any today. Years ago, I used to work at a place over off North Vancouver Way, and every fast day, you could smell Nabisco. Oh my goodness. Anybody smell Nabisco on fast day? I know some of you lived over in that area. It's like, oh, Nabisco. Oh, I sure like a cookie. And I didn't even like their, I didn't even taste their cookies, but they sure smelled good because it was cooking. And so they're fasting, so they're distracted, they're not having clear thinking, and they're denying themselves rather than pleasing God. And sometimes we can get in the mode where we think if we just deny ourselves enough, we'll be good enough for God, but that's not what it's about. It's about submitting to Him. It's about getting in tune with Him. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer walk along, and there's honey, so they eat. And their eyes are enlightened, the Bible says, and they have clear thinking and their bodies are strengthened. It's like the superfood, you know, be alive or whatever they used to announce or advertise on TV. And we drink or we eat that honey and they feel strengthened. But I want to read the backup verses in verses 1 through 4. It says, now happened on one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And verse 2 says this, 1 Samuel 14. And Saul was sitting on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people who were with him were about 600. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, which Ichabod means the glory of the Lord, has departed from Israel. The son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest is in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan was gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. And if you look at a topographical map of that area of the country, or if you look it up online, you will find Bozaz. Bozaz is named the name of one of the rock, and the other one is Sina. They were conical towers that just pierced the sky. And in between them was a deep ravine that was like a mountain pass for a goat. And you could climb yourself up between those. And what had happened is the Philistine garrison had placed themselves in a position where they could watch from those towers to see what was going on in the valley. But here we have Jonathan and his armor bearer planning to go up against the enemy. The enemy has the high ground. They have the low ground. And those two rocks have names, Bozaz, which means a slippery place, and Sina, which means the thorn. They quite literally were placing themselves between a rock and a hard place. They weren't there, but they decided to go there. Why? Because what was important to them was a victory over the Philistine army. What was important to them is that the children of Israel did not become subservient. What was important to them is that there was a seed left to carry on the legacy and fulfill the promise that one would come out of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah. And verse 5 says, and the front of one faced north opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. In other words, circumcision was a symbol of devotion to God, to Jehovah God. It was their physical symbol that they were now a Hebrew. And the Bible says Jesus' name baptism is a symbol of our devotion to Him. It's our circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart. So he's saying, in other words, these are people that are not committed to God. They're anti-God. Why should we be afraid of the anti-God? We are with God and God is with us. You and I have no thing to fear. We may be bruised. We may get battered. We may even lose our life. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We've got to remember that, folks. We're not living for here and now. We're living for then and there. It's not just about this life. Yes, take care of your business. Occupy till he comes. That's the word of God. Do your best, but this isn't the end. This is the beginning. I'm getting ready for something much better than what I see in this world. Yeah. I'm getting ready for eternity with Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the statement that we started out with in the last part of verse 6, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by few or by many. God's viewpoint is drastically different than that of mankind, obviously. I am not sure that topography mattered one bit to God. And I am sure that Israel did matter to God. I am confident that God was watching and waiting, and I am captivated by the action of these two men. Once again, Jonathan has the mind of God like he had in the past. And I think at this point, Jonathan and his armor bearer are in the tree line, and they're looking at one another, and they're looking at that rocky crag, and they're looking at those two towers. And Jonathan looks over at his armor bearer and says, "Maybe. Just maybe." That doesn't sound very confident. Maybe, maybe, maybe. I'm trying to get at a problem that we have in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we think we have to be perfect before God will answer our prayers. No. We had to admit our imperfection in order for Him to give us His grace and wash away our sin. Sometimes we think we have to have super faith. That, you know, when we say as a grain of mustard seed, that's tiny, but it's also the purest seed. It can't be hybrid. It can't be split. And sometimes we look at it and say, "I just don't have enough." But I am here to encourage you today that it's not about how big your faith is. It's about how great your God is. It's not about the size or the strength of your mental power or assent to God being able. But God has not changed. He will not change. The same God that sneezed and blew a way open in the Red Sea can blow a path away for you through the difficult part of your life. The same God that said, "Rise and be healed," can say, "Rise and be healed" to you today, because He has not changed. So please, please, I beg of you, it is my intention, it is my purposeful intention today to get you and I to realize that God can do anything, whether or not we can believe. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I know people who says, "Can God heal?" "I don't think so." And somebody prays for them and God heals them. And it wasn't the faith of the person that prayed. It was the power of God. That's the key, is the power of God. Is He present in your life? Are you allowing Him to be present in your circumstance? Well, say, thank you, Brother Eli, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Thank you for church, for worshiping and pushing yourself into the presence of the Lord and inviting in Him in. Because we say, "Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out." Out. And when God's Spirit breaks out, all the rules of man are gone. All the expectations of humanity disappear. And the will, the perfect design of God is accomplished in your life and my life. Because the Spirit is broken out. You think we could do this? Well, maybe. Maybe. There's been things that I've done on a maybe. I remember as a kid, man. Stingray bicycle. Anybody ever own a Stingray bicycle? Yeah, all the old guys did. Oh, and some, not just guys, but, you know, the banana seat and the Stingray. And it's like, my dad decided he wasn't going to buy a Huffy. He was going to buy a Schwinn because they had solid forks. And the cool thing about solid forks is, and this just came to my mind immediately when I said this, is that you could make a chopper out of your bike real easy. You get the hollow forks off another bike and just cut them off and you could extend them. I remember finally I got five of them on there. You think this is work? Can you ride it? Maybe. And you pop a wheelie and the forks come off. And yeah, how that is. But I also remember looking at the ditch, you know, and thinking, you know, can you jump that ditch? Maybe. But there's a dimension that changes when your buds are around, huh? I don't think you can. And the maybe turns into a false bravado of, oh, yeah, I can. And inside you're thinking maybe. And outside you're saying, ah, that's no problem. And I can distinctly remember the first time I tried to jump that ditch. It's on the way to school. And when it rained hard, they'd fill. But otherwise, they were dry. And we'd just go up and down and through the ditch. And we'd war past through the ditch. And I remember just, yeah. The next time, it was going to be with nobody around. So that when they asked, can you do it? And I said, yes, I knew I could. And with practice, I was able to do that. And it was just boom, boom, boom. And you learned how to do your flips and ride your wheel stand for a whole block and do the rodeo thing with your bicycle that they had at the school grounds and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't have the fancy bikes like my kids did that were BMX. We just had the stingrays. And so I don't know. I probably would have killed myself if I had a BMX bicycle. It would probably had enough head injuries. That's why I have a hard time thinking clear sometimes. But there were a lot of things I did as a kid on a maybe. Why not do that with God? Your brothers and sisters aren't standing here judging you and saying, he's going to come for prayer and he's not going to get healed. Well, so much for his faith. He's going to raise his hands and he's going to pray that God will fill him with the Holy Ghost, and he didn't. Well, so much for her faith. No. Just maybe. A maybe is enough, is the message that I want to give to you. Maybe is enough, because our maybe can turn into God's miracle. And so on a maybe, they crossed over. And verse 7 of 1 Samuel 14, his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here, I am with you according to your heart. And verse 8 says, and Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. We're not going to wait for them to come to us. We're going to go to them. And they had made an agreement that they said, if we reveal ourselves and they say, we're coming after you, we're out of here. But if they say, you want some? That's our signal. Anybody understand that language? Oh, yeah, want some? Oh, man, you got me. That's the ego of the guy. Yeah, I want some. I don't know what I'm getting, but I want it. I'll take it. And they crawled up hand over fist, knowing that if the enemy did come after them and they discovered them, there would be boulders tumbling down on top of them. They likely scraped their knees and their shins and their fingers. They perhaps were bleeding by the time they got to the top. But on a maybe, on a might be, on a could be, on a hunch, they walked to or crawled to the top of the hill. And while Saul sat mournfully under a pomegranate tree surrounded by 600 depressed men, while the father was certain of defeat, the son was hopeful of victory. While fear filled the heart of Saul, faith stirred in the heart of Jonathan. Each man was charting his own destiny, while the masses were frozen with fear. Remember, fear is the faith in the enemy. Jonathan and one other man was inching their way up the hill toward the enemy combatants. They were climbing hand over fist on the sharp hillside, making very slow, arduous progress. And you and I don't think we're going very far, very fast sometime. But if you're going in the right direction, if you're going in direction of the battle, if you're not running away but toward the enemy, it's going to be all right. You'll get there someday and it's going to be just fine. And Saul's sucking his thumb. Well, kind of. And Jonathan's just making progress. There was no guarantee they would come out alive. The way of escape, as we said, would be difficult. They were moving forward on a maybe. And God was ready to move certainly. Sometimes I've got to get God in a picture in my mind, standing on the edge saying, yes,
Yeah. We got two. That's enough. Just two's enough. All I have to have is a representation, because it's really going to be me that does the work. It's going to be my power. It's going to be my spirit. That's why if two or three of you are gathered together in his name, he said, there I am in their midst. It doesn't have to be 500. It doesn't have to be a general conference crowd. It can be 55 on Sunday morning in the early service. It can be just a few people gathered together. It can be just two or three, and they're moving in the right direction. Why? Because they're fighting the battle that means something. It's about the kingdom, and it's about the king. It's about the kingdom surviving. What is your motivation? See, this isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about him and them. It's about Jesus and a world that needs to hear the message of his great grace and salvation. Sometimes this is exactly how life of a true born-again believer feels. Arduous, slow. We're getting bruised and scraped, and others are sitting around in the valley of despair. And most of those nearby are paralyzed with fear because, again, they have faith in the enemy. For a chance of victory, you and I must make our way forward, and eventually we must stand up in the face of the enemy and expose ourselves. I'm not hiding. You know, look, the New Testament church says this thing was not done in a corner. When he comes to testify to the king, hey, we haven't been hiding this. We've been on the street corner preaching. Hey, we haven't been hiding this. We've been saying, hey, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We're preaching in the synagogues. We're praying by the riverside. We're going from house to house. This is not in a corner. And sure enough, they made their slow progress. They had their cliff to their back and hundreds, no, thousands of enemy combatants. And you can read it in the early chapters, the numbers. And when they got to the top, they were waiting for the enemy to come after them or to be arrogant and say, want some? Huh? You, guy in the blue, want some? Huh? Yeah. I know he's sitting down, but I know his character. I know what he would have been like as a teenager. No doubt in my mind. There's a few others in here like that too. But you know what? When we get a hold of God, and if we can transfer that natural desire to defend our own honor into the desire to defend the kingdom of God and stand for his righteousness and true holiness and his purpose, there's no power that can stand against us. There is no power that can overwhelm us. And the Bible says they revealed themselves to the enemy, and the enemy said, want some? Oh yeah, it's on. You know, they're doing their thing, and Jonathan and his armor bearer move forward, and after they came up on their hands and knees, the Bible says that 20 were slain initially, and there was an earthquake, and the Philistines began to destroy one another. Verse 14 says this: the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men in the space of about a half an acre. That's 100 foot by 200 foot. That's as long as this building and about three times as deep as this auditorium. They got 20 of them. Don't you tell me the guys didn't try their best. These were fully weaponized enemy. These were 20 heroic men coming after them. And verse 15 says, and there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people, and the garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. And the Bible says that Jonathan and his armor bearer beat them down. And then they got confused and they started beating down on one another. But God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. But the enemy is confused because fear brings confusion. And he gives a spirit of fear. And God wrought a great victory that day because of two men that just said, maybe And the 20th verse in the Amplified Version says, "And Saul and all the people with him rallied and went to the battle. And behold, every Philistine's sword was against his fellow with wild confusion." Do you want to win a victory today? Is it going to happen in your life? Everybody say maybe. 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 Say it real timidly. Maybe. Can you say it like that? Maybe. Do you have at least that much faith? If you have a maybe, God could have a must be. He may be just looking for somebody that says, I think so. And God says, that's my man. That's my woman. Why? Because it's not about our ego and our strength. It's about knowing that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not about our intellect. It's about the word of God. It's not about our power, but it's about his might. I feel compelled today to speak about God's miracle on your maybe. I know that some of you are struggling in the spiritual sense and others have physical maladies and disease, and some of you have allowed sin to rule your heart or sneak in the back door, or you just left the door wide open, and still others are living in fear. Remember, fear is faith in the enemy. The enemy may be your addiction, your past hurts, tormenting memories. You may have been wondering if God even cares, or hoping against hope that the enemy of your soul will just turn and walk away because you don't feel like you have the strength to face him. I'm here to remind you, you don't need extraordinary faith. You don't have to be superhuman. You need not have lived flawlessly this week. And you don't have to have a long list of victories to establish your credibility with God and say, see, I believed you for this, so I can believe you for that. All you need is a maybe. Maybe that's all we need today. You may be asking in your heart if you could be healed, to which I will say, maybe. My policy is always keep praying until God says no or heals them or they die. Because just maybe that this time God will say yes. You may have been listening to the flesh and your enemy and have been caused to wonder if you will ever find deliverance, to which I will say, maybe. You're saying that addictive substance that's got a hold of me, I've had it since I was a kid. You know what's amazing? My wife's, it's amazing what comes into your brain when you're talking about stuff like this. My sister-in-law, her father came to visit when he was in his late 60s. And he came to visit in our hometown because my brother had gotten married and brought his wife from Tennessee, put shoes on her, brought her to church and all that kind of stuff. And her daddy came to visit. And he says, yeah, we live so far back in the woods, we got the Grand Ole Opry on Sunday morning. It plays on Saturday night. And he had this vernacular when he says, yeah, we're going to do this, and bring this over here, and we'll show them here, huh? And he'd talk, and you'd go, well, he's talking a foreign language. He was talking their hillbilly talk from, and they lived in a town called Blue Goose, Tennessee. And they owned the country store. And I remember going into the country store and you got these old guys sitting on milk cartons, milk crates, chewing tobacco and playing chess and shooting the breeze. I mean, it was just hillbilly. And he came to visit. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost and he got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was in his late 60s. He'd been smoking cigarettes since he was 4. Excuse me, cigars. Since he was 4. He quit. God delivered him. So it doesn't matter how long it's been that way. Remember the Bible says she had a deep-seated infirmity? The woman had 12 years. The man at the pool was 37 years that he'd been there in that. It's not about how long it's been that way. It's about who walks onto the scene. Let your maybe be enough for God to say, yes, that's what I was looking for. Somebody finally saying, maybe. Maybe I'll give that to God today. You may have fallen so many times that your spiritual knees are bruised. Perhaps you prayed many times that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit and have walked away not having received that Holy Spirit. Today you're asking yourself if you dare risk again, to which I say, just maybe. Maybe. Today, just maybe your day of deliverance. And if you stand with me, I want to take you to the New Testament now, because for you skeptics that say, well, that was an Old Testament thing, I wish he had a New Testament scripture for me. I got one. There's a story that arrests my attention. Jesus has been on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration where, you know, he shows himself in his glorified form, and Peter says, hey, wow, we got to build 3 temples, and Jesus says, no, and don't tell anyone until after I'm resurrected. That was probably the greatest miracle that ever happened in Peter's life, is that he kept his mouth shut for months. Anybody need a miracle? Anybody knows? No. So we got this glorified form. Peter had received the revelation of mighty God in Christ. They've returned from the mountain to find a great crowd gathered around the other 9 disciples. And they find a debate there because a young man that is possessed with a dumb spirit, the Bible says, was there. And the spirit would tear him and he would convulse and foam at the mouth and gnash at his teeth. And his disciples had been trying to cast the devil out of him and they couldn't. And so they brought the boy to Jesus, and the boy began to manifest these signs. And Jesus asked, how long has this been happening? And the father replies, since he was a child, and it's also thrown him into the fire, into the water. And so this spirit's been in his life since he was a little kid and has constantly tried to destroy him. And this is what's interesting, we got to think about. Even without Jesus present, it wasn't able to destroy him. Demons have power, but don't give them too much power. Do you hear me? Don't let them talk to you in the middle of the night. Just ignore them. You know, it's like that little chihuahua. He's walking down the street. And big old guy's got his little chihuahua, and he's going. And the chow is sitting on the porch just like, really? You're just not worth my time. You've got to picture yourself like the chow sitting on the porch. Really? Don't waste your time on that chihuahua. Everybody knows you can beat that chihuahua. And the enemy knows, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The only talk back you have to give is shut up. I was speaking with my friend, Brother David Johnson from Bend, and he was in the Middle East recently, and he was in Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. And while in Uzbekistan, a spirit manifests itself, and actually manifests itself in a form. And in conversing with their fellow trip members, they found out the same thing had happened all of them. When he went back to the room that night, it started to happen again, and he says, well, I have some lavender essential oil. And he said, I went around and anointed the room. I said, lavender essential oil? And he said, I prayed, and it never came back. You see, as long as he put up with it, it happened. But when he realized, he says, I'm just going to anoint this room and pray in Jesus' name, and you're gone. Devil hates lavender, I guess. And he's gone. Which, by the way, in speaking with my friend, Brother Jonathan Sanders, this week, I was reminded of what Brother Eli said, that there's a God that shows no love. He was a missionary into the Middle East, and he said, you know, in the Aramaic tongue, there's no real word for love like we have. The closest thing would be like, I love my car, that kind of affection. So their God doesn't love. But he loves you and I. And you know how you'll fight for somebody that loves you. And so here we have a dilemma. This boy, he's controlled. And in verse 22 of Mark 9, the father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He didn't say, I know you can do something. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion. That sounds like a maybe to me. Well, let's get a little clearer. In verse number 23, we read this. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And we go, yes, now if I could just get enough faith. But the answer of the Father is transparent and fills me with great hope when in verse 24 we read, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Do you think I can? Maybe. Maybe. All I have is a maybe, Jesus. All I have, it could be, all I have is a tentative answer for you. And the Bible says Jesus saw the people running to him, and he rebuked the unclean spirit, and saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter him no more. Verse 26, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. And many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Maybe all you need is a maybe today. Your maybe can become God's miracle. Is there anybody that needs something today and you just like to come and stand up in the front and you're just going to say, God, here I am. Help my unbelief. This is my need. This is my addiction. I want to be free. This is my fear. I need it to be gone. I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I need my body to be healed. It's enough. It's enough. Your faith is enough.